All right, welcome everyone. Welcome to another Wednesday night's Cancel the Cabal on People's Internet Radio. Sorry about the intro there. I realized that my mic was on and my mixer was off, but the broadcaster microphone was on, so it might have been a little bit wobbly there. But tonight I have a very special guest. He's been a hot potato, at least the last year and a half that I know of, that I've been Facebook friends with him. But anyways, I'll give a little bit of his bio. He says he's Ethan the Farmer, a natural family farmer that has been involved in a fight for natural agriculture and family farms since 2007. Okay, it's been a while then. He currently manages a natural farm and the organization to get to know your farmer. Get to know your farmer operates 51 Victory Gardens, has 360 member farmers, co-op, homesteads, and strives to educate the average person on the plight of our food in this country, and it is a bad plight. He's been relentlessly attacked for speaking out against the corrupt government in the favor of honoring the Constitution as it is written. I'm going to bring up my guest, E.C. Abbotts, a.k.a. Ethan the Farmer. Welcome to the show, Ethan.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on, and I look forward to speaking with you and your guests and educating them a little bit about what our government is up to in regards to family farmers and those of us that choose to grow crops naturally with a conscience.
Absolutely. I failed to mention to you that a lot of people over there, predominantly in Scotland and Ireland, they are doing a lot of the same things that you are doing here in America, and they're having success at it. They're farming naturally. They're getting away from the mega agricultural foods, and they just seem to be doing something right that a lot of, I don't know whether it's Americans are doing something wrong or whether it's the politicians over here aren't allowing us to do these things, and I'm thinking it's probably the latter.
Well, I think it has to do with the fact that Monsanto was founded in this country, St. Louis, and they are in bed with the American government. We have a former attorney for Monsanto, Clarence Thomas, on the United States Supreme Court. The former executives from Monsanto control the USDA, the FDA, the FSA. All of those governmental organizations are, and Department of Agriculture, are all controlled by former executives from Monsanto. And if you follow the money, you see that it is corporatocracy to the greatest extent when it comes to family farmers and farming naturally in this country.
Yes, it is. And I've got a question already. Someone, Jill, has heard that it's illegal in two states to grow your own veggies at home.
Michigan just passed a law that is taking away the Right to Farm Act. There is a federal law called the Right to Farm Act. And it is becoming an issue where the local governments, the states, are trying to attack people's ability to grow their own food. And you talk about the folks over in Europe being able to grow natural vegetables. Well, most of Europe has banned Monsanto and GMOs. We are the only industrialized nation that still allows GMO products and the likes of Monsanto to exist. And one of Monsanto's largest money makers is geophosphate Roundup Ready corn, Roundup Ready soybeans, Roundup Ready cotton, all of these commodities. And that creates a huge issue because geophosphate is one of the three ingredients in Agent Orange. Monsanto is the original patent holder for Agent Orange.
Yes, they are. Absolutely, they are. And the more and more people find out about Monsanto and GMOs and all these deadly chemicals, they are seeking alternative ways to eat or buy their food or even grow their own food. It's just been a thorn in their side, I'm sorry, as far as the internet goes. I remember, I think it was a couple of years back, that Senator Jay Rockefeller said that wished that they'd never invented the internet. But I don't think that's the actual thing he should have said, Ethan. He should have said they never should have made the internet available to the public.
Yeah. Because with the internet, people like myself have been able to gain a stronghold in the fight against them. One of the videos I put out on August 5th has gotten over 7 million views worldwide, and it's only a minute 52 seconds long. But it talks about what they've done to me and where I'm at with it, and it's from my heart. It says what I think, and it's a no-holds-barred, this is the way I see it. and it has resulted in a huge backlash against the county government, the state government, and I mean, even the judge in the hearing on the 5th mentioned the fact that social media had, he said that social media will not change anything in the courtroom, but yet the courtroom was packed with my supporters and people that were, I mean, there was media in the courtroom that day regarding that hearing, and it's, yeah, social media is how we're going to take back our food. Is how we're going to, social media is how we're going to.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Social media is how we're going to take back our food, take back our government, take back our country, just because of the sheer volume of what you could spread the word. And that's where it's at. That's what we need to be doing. Everybody eats. I don't care what philosophy, religion, or any other aspect of life you come from, you eat. And everybody needs to pay attention to what's being attacked as far as our food goes. And if we take back our food, take back our farms, we can take back our society and take it back for what, for the people, not for the government, not for the corporate elite.
Yes, it is. And what these arrogant people you're referring to, local politicians and judges and police, what they really don't realize, if enough people are immobilized, they can be taken out of office, and things can change very, very, I mean, you know, within 6 months to a year. It doesn't really take a whole lot to have a recall election or do something. It doesn't really take a lot to do something, and they just don't realize.
No, it doesn't. In Colorado, we recalled two politicians last election cycle over the them passing magazine bans for firearms in violation of our right to bear arms here in the state of Colorado. We had the politicians passed a law stating that we could not own a firearm that has over 15 bullet capacity. And two of the politicians that were key in pushing that law through were recalled as a result of their activities.
Yes, yes. I think, I am actually here in Michigan, and it's really a shame that they had to try to, you know, go around the people's backs and make a law saying that you can't even grow veggies or anything in your own yard anymore. I'm betting that a lot of communities are going to ignore that and fight the system at the local level.
Well, I can tell you, if I was in Michigan, I'd go plant a row of corns in the front yard just to prove the point.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Because I believe that the government, I mean, under the Constitution of the United States, we have freedom. We are entitled to the possession of property. We're entitled to the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And part of life is eating. Part of liberty is having the freedom of choice of what to eat. And when the government tries to take away our choices and tries to make those decisions for us, they are violating the American Constitution the way the Founding Fathers wrote it. And the United States has become a nanny state, a state of law, a country of laws that make no sense. And we used to be looked up to around the world as the land of the free, the home of the brave, and we're not. We're losing that in other countries. I talk to a lot of people overseas, and there are a lot of folks that are coming to the conclusion that something is wrong with what's going on in the United States. And as an American citizen that was born in this country, I think I need to take it back. I think that each one of us need to do our part, and we need to start paying attention to what's going on and take responsibility for our country the way it is.
Yes.
My parents' generation allowed it to get this way. I owe it to my kids to change it.
Yes. Well, that's a funny little story you should bring up, because your parents, well, my parents and my grandparents' generation had a good hand in doing that too. They got pretty much sideswiped and swooned with the entertainment system, Hollywood, television, movies, radio. They seem to have gotten googly eyed for that kind of way. And people got complacent. People got lazy. People have gotten to where they just acquiesce instead of speak back, talk back.
Some of us have a problem keeping our mouth shut when it comes to people stepping on our rights. And I have been arrested on several occasions for telling police officers to leave my property when they didn't possess the appropriate warrant to be there. They call that harassment in this state now, when you tell law enforcement to leave when they're not welcome. And you know what? I'll do it again. I believe that is a right that I've been given as a citizen, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to stand up to them, and I'm going to go out every day, and I'm going to tell people what's going on. And I haven't met a person yet on the street, and I talk to people, strangers, day in and day out, that thinks our country is in a good position, that thinks our country is in a good way right now. And I think we need to be doing something. You, me, everybody, turn off the TV, get off the couch, get in the street, and start making some noise, start taking back what is ours.
Well, fortunately, I haven't had a TV in about 4 years. I haven't had a cable bill in about 4 years, Ethan, so I'm well on my way.
I don't
way.
Have a TV either.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, there seems to be millions and millions of people here in America anyways that are just infatuated with the entertainment system and the sports along with it, too. That's had another big impact on people. And I think the sports actually came in first before the entertainment did, if I'm correct, you know, with the middle of the 19th century and later in the 19th century with most of the sports that was invented. It's had a great impact on people, too. And it's understandable that some of the sports, you know, tap into the prehistoric, I don't know, fight or flight type of situation. But I was interested in sports for many, many years up until, I don't know, maybe about 15 years ago. I just got tired of it. I seen right through it, Ethan. I think it was just nothing but a big distraction. I noticed that a lot of things were being fixed as far as the sports. Sports games are fixed. I came to the conclusion.
I don't doubt that at all.
A long time ago.
I would wholeheartedly agree with you.
Well, you can't really rely on humans to make you money as far as a sport. I mean, they can only do so good, but then they're going to need help to win and lose. And people are finding that out too, and getting rid of sports along with their televisions.
Well, you know, I have picketed several sporting venues here in Denver during games and things, and caused a great deal of aggravation for the Colorado Rockies when I parked a llama and myself out front of their gates when they were letting people in, and started telling people what was going on with law enforcement, what was going on with our city, our state, our country. And the Rockies took serious offense to me standing on the street corner and educating the folks that were the captive audience that was standing there waiting to get through the cattle chutes into the stadium. And
Then
I created a website that was Boycott the Colorado Rockies for violating my right to freedom of speech on a public sidewalk.
Into the cattle chutes. I like that characterization there, Ethan. I know you talked to me. We spoke a few days ago, and you didn't really have a lot of trust in the doing something more old-fashioned way. Well, we just spoke of it, the sovereign way.
Well, my issue with the sovereign, I agree wholeheartedly with the principle of the sovereign movement and the principles behind it. The problem is, in the state of Colorado, nobody has been able to win in a courtroom under the sovereign citizen-type guidelines since the early 1900s. And my approach to winning in Colorado, and I've won everything but one case to date, and we're talking 141 criminal cases against me at one point over all of this, has been to take the rule book that they're currently playing by, the Colorado Revised Statutes, and beat them at their own game. That has been the way that I've managed to be successful in fighting them. The only reason why I lost that one case is because they refused to allow me to bring in witnesses, refused to allow me to bring in evidence, refused to allow me to present a defense. And frankly, if you're going to go to court and you can't defend yourself, that's not really justice. That's not really court. That's more of a kangaroo court, more of a mock trial than it is justice. And I see the whole sovereign, I know a lot of people that are into the sovereign citizen aspect, and I know quite a few people that have gone to jail here in Colorado Front Range, going to court claiming sovereign citizenship, and, you know, no license plates on the car, no driver's license, all of this aspect, and they end up sitting in jail. I don't think that I'm very effective on the other side of the concrete wall.
Well, you have a very, very good point, but I do know for a fact that a lot of people here in America are following the wrong movements. They're following bad advice. You know, there are thousands and thousands of people over here that are doing it correctly, but there are many, many that are following bad advice too. Jimmy happened to mention that you spoke of these citizens gathering up and speaking, but in the law books, citizens are virtually dead people, dead entities. Now, with our social security number being the false entity.
That's when they turn you into a corporate property, basically.
A corporate property, yes.
And, you know, I agree with that. But I also know that if I go to court and I tell them you don't have jurisdiction over me because I'm a sovereign citizen, you don't have the right, all they're going to do is throw me in the slammer.
Yeah.
And that's not an effective way of combating what they're doing. Instead, I've chosen to use their system, cost them hundreds of thousands if not millions of dollars fighting me. I beat a district attorney in federal court, got a judgment against him, and 4 days later he killed himself.
That's fascinating.
That's the level that I've gone to fighting these people.
Yeah, and that's fascinating.
It's no longer, I mean, February 24th, 2014, Lionel Grant Wiley killed himself in Adams County, Colorado. He was a district attorney for Adams County.
Been less than a year
right
ago.
Right after I beat him on February 20th in court.
Less than a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, explain to us what the, going back to 2007, Ethan, what actually was the problem? What created the problem?
Well, I had been an entrepreneur, most of my life, and I sold out of most of my entrepreneurial endeavors and decided I was going to go back to my roots, basically farming naturally from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania approach to agriculture, which was raising animals in a natural environment, raising heirloom tomatoes, all of this. And so me and my wife, we bought a farm and we moved into it and started farming. And I turned my chickens loose and planted a whole bunch of tomatoes and built an aquaponics system and a series of biodigesters, and really, you know, got it all going, making a decent living. We ended up having 5 farms. Anadarko and Noble Energy, which I'm sure you know who they are, the great fracking establishment, they're cousins of Halliburton, decided they were going to try to frack our farm. Well, it became you can't frack my farm because I won't consent to you violating the surface use agreement that was originally entered into when the surface rights and the mineral rights were separated, back in the early 1900s. And so as a result, by me not consenting to it, we ended up in court. I ended up winning the battle against Anadarko over the fracking on that farm. Well, then that ended up being a very sore spot for a county whose majority of their revenues comes from fracking. And then I started getting visited by animal control saying, well, it's cruel to have your chickens loose in a field. You need to build a chicken house. And I said, well, I'm not building a chicken house.
Well,
you have to build it.
It's cruel to keep them out in the open and not caged up, is it?
Well, they seem to think that that's the wrong way to raise chickens. And we had many a discussion about my refusal to pen them up in a manner that they saw fit, which was to build a chicken house. And
yeah.
I never did build a chicken house. And I still have free-range chickens that aren't in a chicken house.
Say, Ethan.
Yeah.
I've got a pretty good idea why they wanted you to do that. Because then they could get you into a contract as far as possibly being a chicken farm or maybe a chicken seller or something like that, try to get you into a contract so they could tax you and regulate you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I followed the law under the Right to Farm Act. I didn't break the law by doing what I did. I just refused to subscribe to the USDA, which is the United States Department of Agriculture. I refused to subscribe to the Farm Service Agency, which is another governmental entity, or the FDA, and I just simply raised my chickens free range, sold the eggs, or bartered the eggs. I firmly believe in exchanging products for services or product for product, and keeping the IRS out of my wallet. And that has become a sore spot with them drastically. And over the whole endeavor, it became they attacked me for the chickens. They started cutting our fences and letting the cows out. I put in a 5-wire high tensile, very expensive fence system to try to keep the animals in. They just took their bolt cutters and cut it. And it got to the point where they were coming out and raiding our farm. They handcuffed my adopted daughter on the steps of the farm. She was 7 years old. They put my pregnant wife in jail for grazing livestock on a municipal right-of-way when we weren't in a municipality. We were in unincorporated county, which there's totally different laws in the state of Colorado. Colorado is a free-range state, which means it's a fence out, not fence in, unless you're in the municipality. And they attacked us ruthlessly and wouldn't stop. And the more they attacked us, the more I stood my ground. And the more I stood my ground, the more they attacked us. And so after multiple years of fighting over this, they sent somebody to the farm to take me out with a vehicle. And she and her grandson fed the calf, coaxed him through the fence. Then she came up to the back door, started yelling at my daughter, past two locked gates, past multiple no trespassing signs, screaming about how we're ruining her way of life because she's from a factory farming mentality, a feedlot lifestyle. And, you know, I went out to see what was going on, told her she didn't belong past the trespassing, no trespassing signs. She didn't belong past the locked gates. Walked out to this road to figure out what was going on with calf. She got in her van. She ran me down. She took out my knee, my lower back, and caused me a traumatic brain injury. $180,000 worth of medical bills a year and a half later, still. And they charged me with criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, and harassment for my body causing damage to her automobile. They refused to allow me to call the paramedics. They refused to allow me to submit my to bring my medical records into the trial and show them to the jury. They refused to allow me to call my ex-wife now, who has divorced me because of the fight. She left me over me standing my ground. And, I mean, she was willing to come to court and testify that she was there when they were digging glass out of my skull, when they were doing CAT scans on my skull, showing that my skull was collapsed. I mean, I have a soft spot in my head right above my right ear caused by an indentation caused by the lady's vehicle, the metal around her van window. And I wasn't allowed to bring any of that into the jury. And so instead, I get convicted of criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, and harassment, and I get sentenced to jail. Well, I go to jail. Mind you, they wouldn't let me out on an appeal bond right away, which is against the law in the state of Colorado if it's a misdemeanor. And they stripped me of my clothes, put me in a 6-foot by 4-foot cell, 23 plus hours a day, give me only broth to eat, no toilet, no water, and leave me there with no blanket, no nothing, buck naked on the floor. And I spent 4.5 days like that. Wow. And that's just wrong.
Yeah, that's some wild stuff. It really is. You told me off air who this woman was. You want to say that on air?
I would rather not say the name because I've been accused of inciting people to harass her. If they want to know the name, it was published by the Westword newspaper here in Denver, Colorado. If you look up my story in the Westword, they have diligently published it. I would rather not say it myself. That way I can say, hey, I never said her name to anybody.
Yeah. Do you want to say what she actually does or what she did for a living? Or?
Well, she is involved with the county. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
And I'm trying to not incriminate myself if somebody does something to her or whatever, because she obviously has drawn the ire of many people by her actions that caused these injuries to me. Well, I mean, I've never been physically handicapped all of my life up until this accident. Now, according to the government, I'm 100% disabled.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, just with the brain injury alone, possibly, it could get you that characterization. But
I've lost 18% of my cognitive abilities from the brain injury.
That's quite a bit. You have to write yourself notes and all that?
Well, I found that it mainly has to do with numbers and math, spelling. Those are the areas that I'm really struggling. And I went all the way through calculus and trigonometry in school and aced it all. So when I can't do math, well, this is a new thing.
Yeah, well, I couldn't even spell them two words in high school anyways, and I didn't want nothing to do with them. I had enough trouble with Algebra 1 and 2. But anyways, no, this is awesome. Very, very wild stuff. And, you know, we hear about these things just about every day. With the woman, I think it's been close to two years ago now in Michigan, she was arrested for having a small garden in her front yard. I haven't even heard what's happened to her lately. They took her child into CPS, and I think that woman's child seems like she developed some kind of a STD from being taken into custody. But go ahead.
Well, we need to start everybody, and I'm not just talking to folks on this side of the pond. I'm talking everybody in this world. I mean, they've been doing a great job trying to hold the powers that be accountable overseas, and we need to be doing this. We need to be holding our elected officials responsible. In the United States, we have four branches of government, and a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think there's only three branches of government. But if you read the original documentation from our founding fathers, and if you study it, which I've done, and I've also read the entire Colorado Revised Statutes cover to cover, this country was founded by people that believed in freedom. And those freedoms cannot be infringed upon. We need to start standing for those freedoms, everybody. We need to hold our judges accountable, our police officers accountable, that stuff they're doing in Ferguson. I wholeheartedly support them. I have been arrested in Denver for protesting for jaywalking on a sidewalk because I was standing there telling the police department that what they're doing is wrong. what they're doing is incorrect. And I was filming the police. And what happened? I was arrested for jaywalking on a sidewalk, which I'm not quite sure how you jaywalk on a sidewalk, but, you know, law enforcement can say whatever they want in this country, and you have to fight it on the back end, which I think is wrong. We need to take back our country. We need to take back our society. We need to bring back responsibility for our own selves, not the government being responsible for everybody. That's just not what this, what made this country what it was. That's not what, why people look to the United States for strength. And part of that's bringing back our economies, bringing back our local food, bringing back our local farms. Up until 1946, there was no such thing as a grocery store.
No, there wasn't.
And when they introduced the grocery store, they took away, they put a gap, a corporate entity controlling the food. Instead of going to the neighborhood farmer and buying your corn or your loaf of bread or your head of lettuce or your dozen eggs, then you went to Safeway.
Well,
and that's not right.
Yeah, well, you know, they took those things away, but like I happened to mention earlier, Ethan, is they offered us more complacency, they offered us more convenience, and they offered us less personal strength, personal knowledge. And
as a result, okay.
Yeah, as a result, people fell for it.
Yeah, they did. And what has happened now is that's why our economy is weak, because we have no strength. All of the industry, all of the food production, well, not all of it, but a lot of it, has gone overseas.
Well,
I don't fault the folks from overseas from earning a dollar.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I like to know where my hamburger came from.
Yeah.
I like the fact that when I eat my burger, I know the cow it came from.
Yeah. And, you know, also a lot of people here in America, they just don't want to deal with education anymore. I don't know whether it's just too many distractions or whether sitting down and reading a book or learning about something is just too terribly hard for them.
I mean, I have two college degrees, neither of which is in agriculture. And I write articles about sustainability. The farm that I currently possess that they're attacking, the new farm, I got that with the intention of building a sustainable community training farm where I would teach people how to grow their own food, how to have a subterranean greenhouse, how to do aquaponics, how to do biodigesters, gasification, passive hydroelectric, horizontal geothermal, tiny houses, all of the different things that would bring back our strength and bring back our country's strength. And that's part of why they're coming after me, because I'm willing to stand up there and say, this is how you raise a chicken. I can take a chicken from an egg to something to eat in 15 weeks, a non-GMO heritage breed bird. I'll get 5 to 7 pounds worth of meat, and it's good, healthy food.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I talked to you about off air. Those are all the things that I wanted to look into, every single one of them. But I'm not sure. I'm going to have to... You know what, Ethan? People are going to have to start talking to police and sheriff's departments and mayors, and people are just going to have to start talking to each other. And for the lack of a better word, a real grassroots movement is really going to have to take place. People are going to have to learn how to say the word no again, because millions and millions of people just aren't doing it.
No, they're scared to say no to the law enforcement. You know, one of the things I want to do, if I get through tomorrow and the hearing tomorrow and continue to move on down this road, get some funding to help support the school, the training farm, I want to take a horse and I want to ride through these cities, because I can tell you right now, when you have an animal with you, it breaks the ice with people that normally wouldn't even talk, give you the time of day. When I walk a 6-foot-tall llama, I have a llama named Dolly the llama that's voice trained, and I walk her right through the middle of downtown Denver. And yes, I get harassed by law enforcement till you can't even see straight for doing it. But guess what? People come up to me and they say, why are you walking a llama?
Because
I
can.
And then I have an opportunity to tell them.
Because I can.
Well, not just because I can, but because I care about what's going on with our food, with our farmers, with our society, our courts, our government. I care deeply about what I'm leaving my children. My youngest child is 18 months old. He was born Christmas Eve, right after I got ran over in 2012. And I can tell you, I don't want to leave my son Amos to this type of hell. I want him to be able to grow up in a country that I can be proud of, that believes in freedom, that believes in the rights, the inalienable rights of man. Not this nonsense where cop can tell me, well, this is a lawful order. And I turn to him, look him straight in the face and say,
there is no lawful order.
Your lawful order can't violate my constitutional rights.
There is
Guess no. what? It's not.
There is no lawful orders. The police can't give a lawful order because the police aren't lawful officials.
In and of themselves, yeah.
No,
well,
they are.
I agree. I mean, I've been arrested for disobeying a lawful order in all of this a couple of times. And my response is, you can't order me. I don't belong to you.
That's right.
I'm not yours.
That's right.
And it becomes a huge issue when you challenge them on those facts. But the fact of the matter is, they don't have the right to do that to you. They don't have the right to tell you, you cannot take my picture. You can take their picture.
Yeah.
They're on public property. You have the right to film them. And, you know, if they say no, so what? You know, if they're on your property in your home, you have the right to film. That is your right. And it becomes a huge issue. And I want to take a horse or a series of horses, and I want to ride across this country. And I want to go to every town on the way on horseback and talk to them and educate them and preach. I mean, I want to say preach because it's spreading a message of not a religious message, but one of we need to start taking responsibility for what we're leaving our children.
Not preach, but teach.
Yeah, teach. There you go. That's a good word. I mean, I try.
Yeah. Well, you see, the majority of police themselves don't even know that they're actually allowed to give lawful orders. They are just basically since, I can't remember when, it might have been the 70s or something, but they've actually just been private goons for the private corporation of your particular city or state. Mm-hmm. And that's all they are. I know a lot of people that really get in trouble is with some of the sovereign or freeman movements as they try to explain to a police officer when they're being pulled over. You know, we talked about this the other day, and people will say the things like, well, am I under arrest? Am I being detained? You really shouldn't even be talking to them. The way people get tripped up is the more they talk, the more they mess themselves over, Ethan. And the only thing you should actually say to a police officer is, am I free to go? And you just keep repeating it. If they try to get you into some kind of contract, you just keep asking, am I free to go?
And they, most law enforcement, I mean, I've had plenty of discussions. They're trained to lie. They're trained to take whatever you say, twist it around you, and they're coming at you with something. And it's just not a good deal.
Sorry, Ethan. I had somebody talking to me.
Yeah,
somebody walked in. I didn't even know it. I'm going to take a quick break here. I need to get this taken care of. Okay, Ethan?
Okay.
I'm not
no
sure
problem.
What's
I'll
going
be right
on.
Here.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to put a nice little tune in here, everyone. About 5 minutes. I need to get this taken care of. Let me see. I didn't even hear what the last thing you said was. But I'm going to get this taken care of. Hang on a second.
Okay, I'll be here.
All right, everyone, I'm back. Sorry I cut that song off too early there. Still had a couple of minutes left in that song, but I got the situation taken care of, and I wanted to get back to the show. Didn't want to take up any more of... I didn't want to take a break right then, but I had to. This is what happens when you don't have a studio and you do things out of your house, as a lot of us do. Anyways,
well,
what...
I do things from the front seat of a pickup or the front seat of a car.
A car, yeah. Yeah, you happened to mention that... I think on the phone the other day, you have a very, very good support system.
And, I do. I tend to stay pretty mobile. I tend to switch out vehicles. I tend to sleep in different places. I don't necessarily, very few people know where I'm at any given time, except for my core group, because of the threats made against me. I mean, I have had many, many, many threats made against me that they're going to silence me and that they're going to shut me up permanently for speaking out like I have. And I will continue to speak out like I have until I can speak no more.
Well, as I happen to mention, Ethan, many of the police don't even know that they're private thugs, but I'm sure that there are quite a few that do know the system and they're taking advantage of it. And what you're doing is taking money out of their pockets and their buddies' pockets, basically.
Yeah, I mean it's follow the money. It's all based on greed. And frankly, greed is not healthy. It's not good. And people need to understand that our government putting profits before people's health is just not a good thing. And it's not just our government, a lot of governments around the world. The fat cats live good, the lower socioeconomic strata lives pretty poorly.
Yes.
And, you know, I think if you do an honest day's work, you should get an honest day's pay, and you should be able to live in a decent life.
Well,
and I don't see that happening anymore in this country.
I'll go further than that, Ethan. I think if you don't want to have to work to live, you shouldn't have to. As far as I'm concerned, if somebody can stake claim to a little piece of land and get a hold of fresh water, they wouldn't even need money. You know, as you happened to mention earlier, people can barter for things that they want or need. And we should be able to. We should be able to live off the land.
Well, the American money is no longer based on actual value. It is based on debt. And, you know, that's just not. It's not okay to create money out of thin air and charge somebody for it, in my book.
No, it isn't. No, I keep telling the story. A man named David Icke, he's English. He goes around the entire world telling people about the corruption of the whole system. And he tells a story of when the Spanish came to America in the 16th century. They started to be able to converse with the indigenous people. And someone asked the Indian chief where people bought things at, and the Indians really didn't have any concept of what buying was. They didn't know what the word bought meant. They didn't have a word for bought or buy. The chief asked the Spaniard, how do you buy or sell something that comes from the earth? You know?
No, you can't.
No, you shouldn't be able to. You shouldn't be able to. No.
They do. I mean, it's very clear.
Well,
that
it all comes down to education.
Our system has gone amok.
Yeah, it all comes down to education and growing a spine, and education and growing spine.
Yeah.
I have plans. If I can ever get around to them, I need to. I probably need to work a little bit less to actually do something like this. But I've got a laptop and a second microphone, and I can go out and do little talks and stuff. You know. And film them and put them on YouTube or put them on MP3. I don't know. I think just the face to face interactions is going to be about the only way it's going to happen, Ethan. To tell you the truth, people are going to have to speak to people again. They're going to have to look at people and interact with people again.
People are going to have to get to know their neighbors again, get to know their farmer.
Yes, they are.
I mean, the name of my organization is Get to Know Your Farmer.
Yeah.
And my entire approach is getting to know where your food comes from. And, you know, it's at the point where our society doesn't understand that. And we need to be out there educating everybody that we can talk to. One of the things that I tell people a lot when I'm speaking to groups and things is everybody needs to tell 3 people each day about what's going on.
Certainly.
And if every person told 3 people in a very short period, it would be a critical mass. Just like that video that I made, that minute 52-second video that went to 7 million people watched. That in and of itself is how you change what's going on. If you don't like what's going on in your community, in your society, in your culture,
change it.
With your government, then change it. Don't sit there and complain about it to me, because frankly, I don't want to hear it.
That's right.
I mean, I get out there and do everything I can, and I need, how many people does it take to make a difference? It takes just one more person.
That's right.
You.
That's right. People.
And that's what needs to happen.
You know what? I hear this all the time, Ethan. People say like, why aren't people doing something? Well, you know, there are people doing something. So maybe your question is, why aren't you doing something? I mean, metaphorically, not you personally.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I've given up everything I could give. I've lost my health. I've lost my farm, the farm I had. I've lost my family. I've lost my occupation, all in the fight. And you know what? It still didn't stop. I will fight till there's no more fight left. And that's the way it is, because at least then I can say I have fought a good fight. I did everything I could, and I couldn't stop it, but I sure enough tried. I gave them hell. And, you know, they have threatened my life on more than one occasion. And their response is, well, nobody will believe you. We're the sheriff's department. Nobody's going to believe you over us.
Right.
And my thing is, okay, well, maybe nobody will believe me over you, but I'm going to make damn certain everybody knows what they've done. And the judge said, well, he didn't believe that they were threatening me, even though I've produced recordings, call logs, photographs. I mean, when you have law enforcement officers show up at a farm and put AR-15s in volunteers' faces for simply weeding vegetables, something's wrong, folks.
Well,
I'm not quite sure how the vegetables are violent.
That's when, you know, Ethan, that's when somebody should take a stand right there. I haven't been pulled over or had any kind of a confrontation with law in a long, long time, but I'm afraid I would have to pull my camera out. I've my cell phone and turn the camera on and say, I'm sorry, what are you going to do again? Go ahead and do this. You plan on murdering me right here, live on film? I don't know. Maybe it's just my confrontational attitudes here lately.
Oh, they tell me that I'm confrontational. The judge said that I have a different view of reality just because I simply speak what I see.
Different, yeah. Does that mean you look up?
Yeah, my different view of reality is he's corrupt.
Yeah, that's what. Well, the arrogance of these people you're referring to, Ethan, is they really don't understand why we just don't bow down and give them all the adulation that they want.
Well, I probably will never kiss their feet. not willingly, anyway.
No.
Even then, unwillingly, I probably won't. I probably end up in a fine box before I did that, just because I don't agree with people like that at all. And I have a strong issue with the way they do things, and it really needs to be addressed. The entire system is no longer what it was designed to be by the founding fathers.
Yes.
George Washington and those boys, they'd already been in the streets having a duel. They would not have tolerated it getting to this point. And the fact that our society has allowed it to get to this point is, I mean, really, people need to wake up. And if you think that just sitting on the couch and watching TV and ignoring the problem is going to make it go away, all it's doing is getting bigger. Every day, they're making fiascos all over the globe to try to distract
it is.
Through mainstream media, corporate-owned media, people from the facts of the matter is. The facts of the matter is we've got a fox guarding the hen house. We've got a fox in the hen house. Our government has become the fox.
Eating all the hens.
And it's feeding on the people, our society. And that's not what this country was founded on. This country was not founded on a top-heavy government controlling the populace. And it really needs to come to an end. We need to take back what is ours.
Well, I remember just a couple, I don't know, three or four short years ago, Ethan, one of my history classes in college said that was a time back in the late 19th century, middle to late 19th century, that people would still, if they had found out that a politician had done against the word that they had given, they would march to their office and drag them out and beat the tar out of them.
And you know what? I've actually asked other activists and other people involved in this situation if there's any way that we could actually do protests in this country, which we have the right to assemble, we have the right to peacefully protest and right to air our grievances against our government. That's in the Constitution. And I have advocated and asked for a march and rally, including pitchforks and torches.
And tar.
Drive the point home to these boys.
And tar and feather, huh?
Well, I didn't say tar and feather because that might be considered inciting violence.
Yeah.
But pitchforks are farm implements. Torches are farm implements.
They are.
And since they're attacking farmers, we need to show them that the farmers, the citizens, the people of the society have had our fill.
Yeah.
We're done. I'm tired of it. I don't know about you, but I've had all I want.
Yes. But you know, Ethan, the Constitution doesn't give us these rights. They just reinforce our rights. We have to take these rights.
We have to take them back. They're ours, but we need to take them back. We need to use what's ours.
Yeah, we need to take them back by taking back our sovereignty, I believe, anyways, Ethan. But the Constitution hasn't meant anything to the American people for, I think, since 1937. It's been null and void. It's been the protection of the United States corporation. That small little piece of land over there in D.C. That sovereign land over there. That's
of Columbia.
Yeah, the District of Columbia and I think the county there. I don't even know what the county is now, but as far as I can tell, that's the only thing that the Constitution protects. And we need to find a way to make that different. We need to find a way
to take back what's ours.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to draw as much attention as I can to it. whether that's continuing to post videos, and I mean, I would encourage people to go online and like my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/EthanTheFarmer. And they can donate through GoFundMe at GoFundMe.com/EthanTheFarmer. And that helps me cover the bills of keeping this whole thing flying down the road to fight back. But nonetheless, you know, I have more videos coming out. I have articles coming out. I have all kinds of different things that we're working on to help draw attention to the situation, to help call it to light. And call these, I mean, why don't we call these corrupt judges to the table? They need to be called on the floor and held accountable. And that means when they lie, when they cheat, when they take bribes, when they do drugs on the bench, they need to be held accountable for their actions. Our elected officials need to be held accountable. When you have a former gas and oil geologist, our lovely governor of this state, John Hickenlooper, giving a open checkbook and open access to the public's property for oil and gas, private oil and gas companies' interests, there's a problem. And that man needs to be held accountable personally. He needs to go to prison for what he's doing. That's my belief. Now, whether or not people are willing to go that far, I don't know. But I tell you what, I'm at least going to say what I think to them. I'm not afraid to speak my mind. I'm not afraid to speak my heart. I'm passionate about what they're doing to family farms. Yes, I've gotten into other aspects of the entire cause and the activism arena because of being attacked. I mean, 5 years ago, I'd have never guessed I'd have been sitting here talking to you and doing what I'm doing these days, making videos and generally raising a ruckus against the establishment.
Well, I tell you, 5 years ago, I didn't think I was going to be doing this either. I was thin. I thought I was smart, and I thought I was aware of things. And until I entered college, and that kind of opened my eyes on the entire system. I know. Well, I've heard it say, Ethan, that college does one of two things to a person. It makes them either an anarchist or a socialist, and it definitely made me an anarchist. I couldn't imagine. Well, although there are lots of times I would like to go back to sleep, you know, as they say, but you can't really unsee anything what you know. You can't really unknow anything either.
You know, I'd like to go back and just raise my chickens and my tomatoes and my kids and not have any of this nonsense. But you know what? I'm here, and there's no exit strategy other than forward momentum and continue the fight. That's the way it has to be. Because when you believe that you can just give up and go back to your peaceful, nonchalant, watching TV, eating TV dinners, yuck, life, I mean, that's just not right. If you've got kids, you owe it to your kids. If you don't have kids, you owe it to your relatives' kids. I mean, it's just not. If we don't do something and do something soon, I mean, continue to build the momentum to take back our country, we're done. This country's finished. This country's gonna fall.
It is.
I don't want to see it happen in my lifetime.
It is. That's just what the people don't realize. You know, they've got this mentality that, well, they're not doing this to me, so I'm not going to speak up. And, that's really the wrong thing to do, because I think it was Martin Luther said that, injustice for one is injustice for all, or something to that effect.
Yep. It is exactly the case. And it really, really, really needs to be addressed. We need to hold our elected officials responsible for their crimes and their actions. And I'm talking all the way back, not just the current administration, but all the way back. And I'm not just talking the federal. I'm talking the state, the local, the county, the city, everybody. Let's take this back. Our country was not founded by career politicians and lawyers. In fact, they didn't even know what a lawyer was. Our country was founded by working class Joes, people that were, you know, maybe middle class, but not the 1% or the 3%. It was founded by people that really had a passion for what they thought was justice. And we need to bring back that passion. We need to bring back people's ability to see what's going on. And you say, well, it's not people don't want to do anything because it's not affecting them. I'll tell you what, if they eat, it's affecting them. 80% of the food products in the American grocery store contain a Monsanto patent. And Monsanto's the same people that patented Agent Orange. Now, if you like eating Agent Orange, as we've seen what it did to the country of Vietnam and all the vets that came home from there, I wish you the best. But frankly, I can't tell my kids to eat Agent Orange with a clean conscience. I can't look my child in the face and say, hey, I'm going to feed you some nifty chemical I can't even say or spell on the backside of this food product. It's not even really food. And I'm just going to do that because I'm too lazy or I don't really care to do what's right. That's not ethical. That's not morally correct. And you owe it to your kids to stop that. And if you're going to stop that, you're going to have to get behind the people that are, like myself, that are fighting against the likes of Monsanto, the likes of ConAgra, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Monsanto. Monsanto went out and bought Blackwater. Why? Because they're worried about people like me causing a ruckus.
They are.
And you know what? I don't really care. I've become a lightning rod. I've got a bullet, a target on me so big it's not even funny. I don't care. I firmly believe when it's my time to die, I'm going to die. But
that's
in the
right.
meantime, I'm going to fight like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
You know, if people would understand that when the government, the courts, took away my health, they took away my family, they took away my farm, they took away my occupation, they took away my assets. What else can they take from me short of my life?
Right, yeah.
Really nothing.
Well, they've taken
other than torturing me in a jail. And you know what? If I die in jail, I die in jail.
That's right.
But I tell you what.
They make a martyr out of you anyways.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, if I died in jail, I would be a martyr. And the backlash would be astronomical against the people opposing me. Because I have generated a lot of international and national support. I have called attention to them on a level that they never anticipated. They told me I was a dumb redneck farmer, as I quote them. And this dumb redneck farmer has put up a bigger fight than anybody else ever has against them in this local community and then across the state. And I'm going to continue to put up the fight. If I was healthy, I would walk to every house in the Denver area, in the Colorado Front Range, and I'd knock on the door and say, do you know what's going on in this country? Are you happy with where you see this country headed? And I bet money nobody would say yes.
Well, you know, one thing they haven't taken there, Ethan, is something... somebody just made a comment. Actually, Nick did. He said, they haven't taken your knowledge. And that's powerful. They haven't taken your knowledge about, natural farming, how to raise the chickens, like you said, raise crops and everything. And even if they do take your life, they still can't take that knowledge because you have passed that on to people already, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I taught workshops. I've educated people. We have 270 volunteers that I've educated. I'm not afraid to tell people this is how you grow a tomato. This is what an heirloom tomato looks like and show them how they can grow their own food. Do you know that you can grow enough food to support a family of four with 355-gallon drums and build an aquaponic system for less than $200 that will grow your vegetables year-round for your family?
$200? That's all it would take for...
Yep, family of four, you grow vegetables year-round, self-sustaining, closed ecosystem. You don't need any more money. That's it. And you'd have enough vegetables for your family of four to eat healthy, natural vegetables year-round.
How much space is that going to take? How many square feet?
12 square feet.
12 square feet? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How many people in America don't have 12 square feet? We live in these big monstrosity structures compared to the rest of the world. And we heat them, we cool them, all of this charming stuff, waste a huge amount of energy. And why can't we grow our own food?
Yeah, why can't we?
Because the government says we can't. That's why. It takes you less than 20 minutes a week to maintain that system. So how many minutes a week do you spend in the grocery store buying groceries for your family of four?
Yeah.
More than 20 minutes.
Yeah. I might have to spend...
So it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I might have to take a couple weeks and go out there and do one of them workshops, Ethan. Unless you
Well, once we get the school built, we're going to have the ability to have up to 150 people per workshop. Once we get this farm out from underneath the current system and get it where I can do that the way I want to do it, I'll be able to do 150 people at a time at the workshop. And, you know, the other thing is, I know I've done biodigesters. How many people in America throw away food?
I don't. That's obvious to see by looking at me.
Yeah, but most of Americans are very, very wasteful
yes.
with food. 60% of the food grown in this country goes to waste. So if we were to take that waste food and put it into a biodigester to generate methane, we could almost eliminate the need for the natural gas companies and the propane companies.
Sure.
But the government doesn't want us to do that because they don't know how to tax it.
Yeah, and besides, they can't. Methane is one of the most plentiful natural gases there is.
Yeah, it is, and it has no odor. People are like, oh, it'll smell bad. Nope. Yeah. Methane has no odor.
Right.
I mean, the only reason methane has an odor is because some bureaucrat put a smell in it if you're dealing with methane. And, you know, a biodigester, every restaurant, every business, every home, they have grass clippings, they have leaves, they have food waste, they have human waste. Why aren't we turning all of this waste into a biodigester, which therefore would be creating the methane to create the energy to support the home, and you come back out with good compost to grow good food?
Yes, you do. You also mentioned something on the phone the other day that really piqued my interest also, Ethan. I've seen these videos, and oddly enough, some of them come out of the Colorado area where people convert their vehicles, whether it's a car or a truck, over to be able to burn vegetable oil, used vegetable oil coming from restaurants and that.
Yep, that's very, very easy to do. I mean, in Colorado, we don't have warm weather 3, 4, 5, 6 months out of the year.
Right.
And yet we still are able to convert vehicles to run on something besides petroleum. I mean, I've been involved with vehicles that ran on hydrogen, which is the fuel that you use in a hydrogen car is strictly distilled water. Because then you take you split the atoms and the molecules and you get 2 parts hydrogen, 1 part oxygen out of your water. The oxygen is a byproduct. It's basically your exhaust at that point on a hydrogen car, and you can drive forever on distilled water. And I know vehicles built that way. I've been involved building a couple of those. You can run vehicles through gasification. Again, utilizing waste, organic wood, leaves, this type of material to create a fuel that is A, renewable, B, has very little emissions, and C, has energy. You can drive down the road on it. And we've built vehicles that can be operated that way. And then you're talking about the biodiesel vehicles and the fire oil vehicles. It's the same kind of thing. All of that is able to be run. You can run a vehicle on a biodigester. I can drive down the road on methane, which is making very few alterations to a vehicle.
Is that right?
Other than compressing it and this type of thing, you know, the management of the fuel. But nonetheless, you're going to have to do that anyway. I mean, if you have a propane or natural gas powered car or truck, you're going to you have to compress it. It doesn't just hop into the jets.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different things out there. But our government, because of it's in bed with big oil, it's in bed with the utility companies,
big
the electric companies,
yep.
They want to tax everything. And it's wrong. I mean, I don't know if you've been to Colorado, but we have irrigation ditches everywhere. All the water runs down the mountains in the spring.
I have.
And, you know, if you were to be a semi-intelligent person, a passive hydroelectric system using a car alternator, generating 12 volts, dumping it to a battery, running it through an inverter, and then kicking it back to power your whatever, your house, your pump, whatever, you can generate energy just by the fact that the water flows by. Passive hydroelectric. But yet, we don't do it. And it makes no sense. There's millions of miles of irrigation ditches in the state. You don't have to dam up the ditch. Why stop the flow of water? Why stop the energy? Just harvest a little bit on its way by.
Yes. Well, there you get into the control mechanism.
Mm-hmm. It's the government, and it's wrong. We should not be paying for electricity. We should not be paying for natural gas. We should not be paying for gasoline
food.
Put in our cars.
Food, yeah. Water.
Well, yeah. None of it. I mean, we should have the right to harvest the energy that nature produces, the food that nature produces. And yet, in Colorado, up until recently, it's been illegal to even have a rain barrel.
Is that right?
And I never did understand how they can claim ownership of something that falls out of the sky, but they do.
Well, they told that one man, I think it was either up in Oregon or Utah or something, he couldn't have his own man-made pond.
The Army Corps of Engineers is notorious for telling people you can't dig a pond. And here in Colorado, they took away a lot of the farmers up towards Nebraska. They took away their rights to wells, claiming that they didn't have the right to drill a hole in the ground and pump water out of the ground. Water that's been there. Water that's there.
Yeah. They
but
are going
because the government can't tax it.
That's right. They are going to start using water as a weapon here very, very soon also. They're already starting to use the land and food as a weapon, and soon they're going to start using water as a weapon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I own water rights through my organization for the farms and stuff, and I don't think 1 year goes by that somebody doesn't sue me over the water somewhere.
Yeah.
Because water is the next goal.
It
you
is.
You don't need the little shiny gold. You need the little drops of H2O.
That's right.
Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen.
That's right.
And that's just craziness.
Have you ever worked with any of these devices that extract water from the atmosphere?
No, I haven't done anything with those yet. I mean, I've done subterranean greenhouses where we use the water in the soil, the groundwater, to water the greenhouse. I've done projects with that, which is an interesting approach to watering vegetables because then you're just using the groundwater.
Yeah. Do you have plans on traveling all over the country or anything like that? Or
I'm hoping next spring, possibly in January, if I can get some of this other stuff under control, I would like to take a horse or several horses and, my ambassador livestock, Dolly the Llama, June the Goat, Luna the Goat, Sunshine the Goat. I have Papa Blue Eyes, the Icelandic pony, Blackjack, the Shetland pony, and go across the country with them in an educational format to try to reach out to people and really get people on board with taking back what is theirs already. I mean, if people say, well, you're taking it away from somebody else. No, I'm taking it away from the government. And the government never owned it. So I don't really feel that I'm doing anything wrong other than taking what should have been ours to begin with.
Yes, but actually what I meant was, you plan on riding the horse or are you going to put all these animals in some kind of a vehicle?
Well, I think what will probably happen is I'll have a truck and a trailer follow me, and I plan on riding the horse myself.
Okay.
I can't physically walk that far anymore. If I could, I would.
Yeah.
But because of my injuries, I can no longer walk long distances. I can't do stairs. It's become a issue. But, yeah, I would like to ride a horse across the country. I'd like to start on the West Coast, and I'd like to go to the East Coast. And then once I got to the East Coast, I'd like to go back to D.C.
That's going to take a long time. A long, long time.
Yeah. I figure about 90 days.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're just going to stop for the night there, somewhere then and not really do, you're going to talk to people along the way? Is that what the plan is?
Yep. I'm going to stop in towns each night and try to get them fired up, do a rally or do a meeting or whatever I can do. I mean, I don't really care. I've gone to churches and talked to them. I've gone to schools and talked to them. I've gone to colleges, nursing homes. I don't care.
Yeah.
Wherever that I can find people that will listen.
Yeah.
And fire them up. Get them excited.
Do you capture rainwater?
I don't right now. The existing farm, we have two natural springs, and we have about a 5-acre pond that those springs dump into, and that's plenty of water for what we need out there right now.
Okay. Do you have any is it hard to capture rainwater? I mean, just get, barrels or build your own pond?
Oh, you need a barrel. Your roof will catch it. You just got to funnel it into a barrel.
Yeah. Get enough of them. Is it hard to filter that, filter rainwater?
Rainwater is probably better for you than what comes out of your tap. It doesn't contain fluoride.
Well, but aren't the chemicals coming out of these chemtrails affecting rainwater?
Yeah, the aluminum. But aluminum's still better for you than fluoride.
Oh, wow. Not too positive about that. But
well, aluminum iodine, which is what they use for the chemtrails, is not good for you. But nor is fluoride. And fluoride is, I mean, we all know what fluoride is. They say about chemical weapons in Syria, and their chemical weapons are fluoride bombs, yet they're dumping it in our water.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things going out there what fluoride actually is. And I think one of the components of fluoride is the byproduct after they make aluminum.
It is.
Yeah. And there's also...
And it's considered hazardous waste.
It is, yeah. People have to use gas masks and body suits and rubber gloves, but yet they dump it right into the water system.
Mm-hmm. Fluoride eats concrete.
Yeah. Yeah, it also eats your brain away, eats your stomach away.
messes with your pineal gland.
Yeah, pineal gland, that's what I meant.
Yeah, pineal gland, yeah. Close enough. You know, I do all right for having a brain injury. I can still keep most of my facts right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's a mess what we got out here, and we really need to start doing something about it, and we really need to start taking back our country. I mean, I can't look my children in the eyes and say, hey, I'm going to just ignore this.
Yeah.
Instead, I get up every day, no matter how bad it hurts, no matter how bad my body's tore up, no matter, I mean, I was up till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock this morning with meetings and stuff, and I was back up bright and early, back on the computer, back working the emails. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, I've gotten over 10,000 emails.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can only answer about 600 a day, so I apologize to those that have to wait, but I do my best. And I get back as many people as I can, and I do my best to call attention to what's going on. And I really, really, really think that, you know, if we can't outspend people like Monsanto.
No.
You and I don't have a big enough checkbook to bring these boys down with our money.
But they also
what
don't.
What we do have is we have the power of the people.
Yeah. They also, yeah, exactly. That's just where I was leading to, Ethan. They don't have enough jails or prisons right now for us, and they're not going to just bring the weapons out and start mowing us down either.
The backlash, they tried a little bit of that kind of stuff over there in Ferguson, and it didn't work out for them when they started shooting wooden bullets. And, I mean, there was even some accusations of live bullets, whatever, but long and short of it is, it didn't work out well for them. And it has definitely, their misjudgment of the situation in Ferguson has bit them hard. And they don't belong shooting people for any reason, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's... I struggle with the idea that there's anything that would deserve death by a cop.
Well, that was a social experiment, as far as I'm concerned, Ethan. Do you remember in 2009 when...
Called Flag.
Yeah. But it's still a social experiment, a beta test, if you will. Do you remember in 2009 in Pittsburgh when they had the G20 meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they did the same kind of things over there. They used sound cannons. They had there's a machine out there that a company has built. They can turn this device on and point it towards you, and it will make you nauseous, make you throw up, make you want to get out of the area. And it works. It works effectively, and they use it in some of these places, you know. I don't know. It just seems to me that they're just pushing very, very hard to try to get us to mount an attack on them, you know?
Well, I don't necessarily think that violence is going to resolve it either. I think that what's going to resolve it is the people joining together and saying, okay, enough.
Yeah. But
this is enough.
But, you know, they're not bothering the people that are watching TV 5-6 hours a night and going to sport events. They're only bothering the people that are speaking out.
Yeah, that's true. I bet money if I hadn't spoke out, I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in. But you know what? I wouldn't change it. If I could do it again, I'd do it the same. I'd probably do the exact same thing.
No.
And, you know, the judge said a hearing on August 5th, he says, you show no remorse. And I said, why would
I be remorseful
for something
really?
I don't believe I did wrong.
Show no remorse for doing something right. Yeah. Is that, what did he, expect you to plead his forgiveness and beg for sorrow for being run over by a van?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He expected me to beg them for forgiveness, and I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. There's been people that have been arrested, for getting blood all over the officers' gloves and uniforms when they were being beat to a pulp.
And it
just gets me.
I don't understand that, because if you're the one smacking me, I don't think I'm responsible for your actions.
No, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. Not in today's age of the slaves of America.
Yeah, well, I don't think I make a very good slave.
Probably not me either.
I'm a little too loud. I'm a little too obnoxious. I mean, back when they first started throwing me in jail, a couple of times when they threw me in jail, I did the 99 bottles of pop on the wall song until they got really, really mad. I sat there and sang as loud as I could. And us redneck farmers, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I sing at the top of my lungs, 99 bottles of pop on the wall, and I get all the way through the song, and I start back over at 99 again. Law enforcement doesn't appreciate listening to that long term.
Well, over there in Ireland, they would say Guinness, a pint of Guinness. But
yeah, that works too. I'm game for whatever. It's more or less how can I annoy them for their actions? How can I be a thorn in their flesh? Yeah, you might have me in handcuffs. You might have me buck naked sitting in a plastic chair. But I tell you what, I can sure sing loud and obnoxious about what they're doing. And at some point, they break. They don't have the tenacity, the wherewithal to stand up to people that are willing to give it everything they've got back. There are very, 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 very few government officials that are willing to die for what they believe.
Oh, yes.
But yet, our founding fathers were willing to die for what they believed.
Yeah. Say, Ethan, somebody just happened to mention, they asked the question, are you the man that more or less said that giving up is also an option? Or I don't know, you seemed to mention in your, I think it was about 11-minute video, the one that I caught, the one that I got in contact with you about, you haven't, not so much committing suicide, but giving up or something like that, or giving
up. Well,
your
what I said, and they tried to tell me that it was a threat of suicide. I know exactly the statement, but basically what I said is they intend to torture me.
Okay.
And they did torture me. I mean, I spent 4.5 days being given salt broth to drink. And they threatened to beat me. They took all my clothes, left me on a concrete floor in a 48-degree building with no blanket, no nothing, no water, nothing. And that is torture. And I said, you know, my physical body can't take the torture that I could take 5 years ago when this was all getting started. And I don't know if I can handle that kind of torture again. And you know what? I have seriously thought about what is worth it? Where is it? Where do I draw the line between I'd rather die in a situation where I did die suffering for months. And if I go to jail for 86 more days, which is what they want to put me in jail for, I can tell you, I'm not going to live 86 days being given nothing but salt water to drink. There's no way. Your body can't sustain itself. And that is torture. And yeah, I've thought about, is it better to take my own life than it is to go on their terms? Is it better to take the control away from them?
Well, you know,
and
what?
I've had plenty of opportunity to think about it, and I don't really know.
Yeah, I think the last option before that should even be looked at, Ethan, is getting out of that area, starting over somewhere new.
The first of all, my kids are here, and I will never, never have somebody tell me you abandon your kids.
Yeah.
No matter what, I love my kids. My kids mean the world to me. I miss them, and I'm not going to abandon my kids. And in the same hand, that's part of why I don't believe that I will commit suicide. I believe that what they plan to do, if they can carry out their threats, now, I don't really think they're going to be able to do it tomorrow. I don't think they're going to get me back in jail for 86 days tomorrow. I think that there's way too much public backlash against them for what they've done already. That's the same jail, incidentally, that last, not the time I was put in jail August 5th, but the time when I was, the last time they arrested me in that county, they strapped me to a chair, naked, poured water over my head. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with what they do to the guys down there in Guantanamo.
Waterboarding?
But it's a very similar treatment.
It's waterboarding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their response is, well, it's our word against yours. We can do whatever we want to you. And as a result, it becomes a problem. You have a government that's run so much amok that they believe they can do whatever they want to you. And I don't agree with it, treating people the way they treat them. They say, well, you're violent, that you're this, you're that. And I tell them, you know what? Show me one instance where I swung the first, where I threw the first punch. They don't have any. Show me one instance where I was charged with a crime because I went off of my property and I was the aggressor. They can't, because there is no such instance. The instances are, they are the aggressors. They are coming to where I am at. I am not going to them. I am not looking for trouble. I am not desiring trouble. I'm simply saying, when you come and attack me, when you come and attack my family, I'm going to stand my ground. And yeah, I don't want to be tortured in jail. I don't want to die of starvation, dehydration, whatever becomes when you drink salt water for a time period. It took me 4 days to recover from their little stint of 4 days. I almost ended up in the hospital. I have pancreatitis. I can't digest food as it is correctly. That's part of why I eat naturally.
Yeah. It's really a shame that there isn't some kind of a mechanism that, other than their own system, to keep them under control. You know, yeah, I don't know. There needs to be, I don't know whether you want to call it a common law grand juries anymore or not, but those things are starting to come back. Have you heard about that?
They are. Oh, yeah. There's a group working on it here in Colorado, and they are definitely They are definitely working towards it, but whether or not it becomes effective where the powers that be will recognize it is another issue, because it's similar to the sovereign citizen aspect where the powers that be do not recognize it. And that's where they're going to come into problems with.
Well, that's where education comes in. It seriously is. That's where education comes in.
I mean, jury nullification, explaining to jurors that they have the right to overrule an unconstitutional law.
They can overrule a judge. And they don't even know it. They don't even know it.
Nope.
They can overrule the district attorney. You know, the county clerk actually has more power than a judge does.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that either.
But trying to get them to understand that is
yep.
next to impossible.
It is.
It's just, yeah, it's a congressional act. And I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. But yeah, if it came down to where I knew that I was going in for a period of time where there was no way I would come out the other side, I don't know. I don't know what would happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I do have you lined up for another show on Sunday, Ethan, but I would also like to, talk to you about getting back on this network again sometime. It's only going to help, and I know you're kind of booked long into the future, but I need to end this show a few minutes early here. I've got to do something with it, with that interruption that we had an hour ago.
Not a problem.
Yeah. But
all right, well, just send me a message. You've got my Facebook information. Everybody out there, if you want to contact me, you can email me at info@gettoknowyourfarmer.com. You can also find me at facebook.com/EthanTheFarmer, or you can support us through GoFundMe.com/EthanTheFarmer. So
go ahead and repeat them again. I know that was a little quick.
The way to contact me via email is info@gettoknowyourfarmer.com. That's our main website is gettoknowyourfarmer.com. And you can email me there. You can friend me, like me, whatever on Facebook at facebook.com/EthanTheFarmer. And you can support us through GoFundMe/EthanTheFarmer. And I mean, we're appreciative of every dollar that helps, because this is it's been a long haul. I mean, it's been a lot of money that's gone into this fight, and we're not anywhere close to winning yet. But I believe that there is the option of winning. I just believe it's going to take time, it's going to take money, and it's going to take people willing to support me and stand with me through the battle.
Well, I think it's going to take a lot of time too, and I think it's going to take a lot of re-educating people, re-educating a lot of brainwashed people. Because that's what we're actually dealing with, Ethan. We're not dealing with bad people or evil people or stupid people. We're just dealing with brainwashed people.
Yeah, I mean, we are. And we really just need to address it. We need to try to get people to understand what they're doing. So, I mean, yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to talking to you in the future and working together. And if you want to send me a message, or somebody messages you and has a question or something, feel free to give them, my email, and I'll do my best to answer it. Like I said, I've gotten somewhere around 10,000 emails, and it takes me a little bit to respond to them all, but I do my best.
Right, right. I've already got a couple of people wanting a link for your Facebook. They're going to hit you up. I don't know how many, but that's Ethan, E-T-H-A-N, The Farmer. Facebook.com/EthanTheFarmer. And yep. I'm also going to put that right in the chat room there for you, Jimmy. So I will get that email in there for you also, if I can. And I'm going to put your site in there. And I'm going to let you go for the night, because I do have to take care of that little interruption.
I understand.
I'd like to spend another 10, 15 minutes with you, but I can't.
All right, guys. Well, you be safe out there, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yes.
Have a good night.
Thanks for coming on, Ethan.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right, everyone. Yeah, I need to end this here a few minutes early. That interruption, I have to do something with that interruption about an hour ago. I've got to get something taken care of. So I will see everyone on Friday, and hope to see everyone, I hope to do a lot of traveling here someday soon, and hope to see everyone, just period. That would be nice. So take care, everyone. Have a good night.